taking time off as a freelancer can feel extremely daunting, but it's essential for your well-being and your business sustainability. So in this episode, Shay and I are going to dive into how to plan your time away without disrupting client relationships, choosing the best times to take a break, and budgeting to make sure that you can relax in financial security. So, Shay, I don't know where you want to start. Maybe let's start with notifying clients, because I think that's probably the best place to start planning for time off. How do you go about planning and advising?
So luckily, we are recording this episode and decided what the topic was now, because it reminded me yesterday to fire off my December dates to all my clients. So the answer to how far in advance, as soon as you can, but the key is to keep reminding people, because if you do it too far in advance, then, you know, they're likely to forget closer to the time. So what I like to do is, as soon as I know that I'm going to be away or I'm not going to be at my desk for a couple of days, I'll send it out straight away. But then sort of 2 weeks before the time, I'll do another reminder. A few days before the time, do another reminder. Might seem like overkill, but you can't expect your clients to manage your calendar for you and to be thinking all the time about, oh, I wonder where Shay's going to be today. That's really the last thing on their mind. You know, if they need work, they need it done, and they're likely to forget that you might not be at your desk. So I think key is doing it initially and then staggering a couple of other reminders too. And you?
Same vibe. I tend to not do it as soon as possible because I'm usually busy and I forget. Usually I forget that I'm actually taking time off, and we're going to get to like best times to take time off shortly. I'll pop out an email on several occasions closer to the time. And what I've found works quite well is adding a little footnote to your email signature with your dates, just as a reminder. So every time you're communicating with the client, that information is being communicated with them as well. So specified emails, specific emails going out, but then on email signature as well. I found that works quite well.
Mm. And another thing you can do, I wouldn't do it all the time, but if appropriate, if it's a client that you work with almost on a daily basis, you can almost send a calendar invite, you know, with all the days that you're away, so that they'll actually see in their calendar. You know, this is obviously only if you are sort of crucial to their business and work with them every day, but so that they have that in their calendar too.
So that's how to tell the client. Fairly straightforward, fairly easy. What is a lot more complex is deciding when to actually take time off. And I've found that every single year, come June, July, I'm like, this time next year, I'm actually going to take leave. And then the year rolls around and it's June, July again. And I'm like, this time next year, I'm going to take leave. And I never do, because the trick is to schedule it like way ahead of time so that your schedule doesn't kind of fill up. But I'm always kind of like, let's see what happens. Let's see how the year goes. Let's see what's happening in March, April, to see if we can afford the time off in June, July. How do you go about planning time off? Like, do you do it in one huge chunk in the year? Do you take like several mini holidays through the year? How do you do it? How do you approach it?
So I'm the opposite to you in that I love to kind of have an idea of, so the big trips, the way I'm taking proper leave, and proper leave to me looks like, you know, a week or more away. So to schedule two of those in during the year, generally one in the middle of the year and then one between Christmas and New Year, because no one's working then anyway, especially in South Africa, no one is working then, let's be honest. So that's always, it's a busy time. But it is a good time. With my husband being a school teacher, I am limited to prime time, school holiday, premium rates. So just got to roll with that. So yeah, typically two big trips, or at least a week leave in June, July, and then in December. So at least, you know, you're cutting the year in half. And then the mini breaks are less planned. So where it's that, oh, let's, should we take a Friday and go here? Or you know, because it's nice to have that kind of spontaneity too. But I feel like those, it's not as important to be as intentional and strategic about it because, you know, hopefully you can decide at the beginning of the week and just work some extra hours in those 4 days of the week to take the fifth day off or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I am really bad. Like, I am the traditional freelancer who is terrified, even though I've got, and we're going to get to the budgeting side shortly, but even though I've got, you know, emergency funds to cover if things are slow or whatever, I really struggle to kind of allow myself time off. And well, I mean, we had a conversation earlier in the year about how that actually did eventually lead to burnout, and I'm still kind of at the tail end of recovery from that. So yeah, it's I think for me, what the most difficult part of determining, you know, when I'm going to take leave is, before COVID, it was pretty easy to see like industry trends, like when you're busy, when you're quiet, and COVID kind of messed that up a little bit. So I don't know if you've got it now, but in my business, I am quiet. If you look at maybe the last 3 years, like one April was really quiet, but then the next two Aprils were really busy. One July was kind of dead, but then the one before that was really busy. So there's no kind of trend or cycle anymore that you can say, okay, I can safely take time off during this period. You've mentioned obviously you're kind of confined to school holidays. I feel your pain because my partner is also a school teacher, and so the struggle is real. You are confined
to unsubscribe from all of the awesome like holiday deals emails, because then you click through and it's never in school time date. So I've unsubscribed from all of those.
No, never. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you are kind of confined unless you are willing to leave them at home and say, well, see you after my break. But it's how do you have a business cycle? Is it just purely driven by the school holidays that dictate when you go away? Or is there like a business cycle aspect to your decisions?
No, not in my business either, other than December, between Christmas and New Year. And even I would say in South Africa, at least from the 16th of December to the first week in Jan, tend to get a bit quiet. But other than that, I haven't noticed any kind of patterns whatsoever. And as soon as you think that there might be a pattern emerging, and you think it's going to be a quiet month, you'll have a massive project that lands on your desk. So I think just prepare to be unprepared in that regard. But this is speaking, you know, we're both writers, perhaps in other industries, you know, there's a bit more predictability or pattern.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the budgeting side, because obviously taking time off, especially if you're a freelancer that doesn't have some kind of passive income, if you're not producing, you're not earning. And it's a terrible business model. But this is what we live with. You know, how do you approach the financial side? We've spoken a little bit about the financial side of freelancing in general, but do you kind of budget to take these 2 weeks off and kind of accept the fact that you're not going to be earning anything in those 2 weeks that you're away? Or do you kind of try and cram everything into the buildup? Like, we're coming up to the end of the year. I find that October, November, and those first 2 weeks of December in South Africa are crazy because, like you say, from 16th of December, everyone's shutting down for the end of the year. Everyone's trying to get their December content done, their January content done, so they can hit the ground running when they come back in the new year. And it puts a lot of pressure on you. So I'm finding that although the work pressure is very high in those situations, It does help alleviate the financial burden of being off. So how do you, is there something specific that you do as well?
Yeah, also a bit of a hybrid approach. So for my regular clients, it's a bit of the cramming to try get everything done before I go. And then obviously I can't take on any ad hoc projects during that time, stuff that hasn't been planned for. So, you know, that's income you've got to kiss goodbye. But the way that I hedge against that is by building my time off into my rates throughout the year. So I know we've mentioned it before, but on my freelance rates calculator that's on my website, that accounts for how many days you actually want to be working a year and takes that into account for a baseline hourly rate. From there, it's up to you to make sure that you're actually saving some of that income for those months ahead, because, you know, you could just charge more and then blow it all in the month you receive it. So there is a bit of a discipline involved in making sure that you actually are saving it for those leaner months. And then you did touch on passive income, which, I mean, there's no, Imho, no such thing as passive income, really, truly passive income. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't look for opportunities that aren't tied to your hours specifically. So, I mean, an example would be, we had a flat above our garage, so we Airbnb'd it, which was definitely not passive. And I eventually actually got over the stress of trying to flip a room and arguing about who was going to do it. And so we stopped doing that and actually just got a fitted in a little kitchenette to get a regular tenant, which has been great. But yeah, just keep your mind open to ways of making money that aren't tied to your time.
Yeah. Seeing as we're speaking about passive income, very far departure from taking time off, but I obviously, we've got this podcast and I've been looking for ways, you know, people have been like, have you monetized the podcast yet? Have you monetized the podcast? And, you know, all the traditional sort of passive income type of things are very American. You know, you've got your online coaching or your online courses that you charge a premium to. You can have a podcast that you've got sponsorship deals for and that sort of thing. But I find within the South African context, whatever those tactics are that work in the US don't necessarily work in South Africa. In podcasting, for example, I don't think that our audience is big enough to justify like a really large sponsor coming on or doing. Plus, advertising is just ridiculously annoying. So, you know, I don't want to be listening to a 15-minute podcast and having like three adverts bombarded. At, you know, bombarding me during that time as well. So, yeah, keep an eye out for those opportunities and, but kind of tweak them to your context. So, yeah, for example, the podcast for me is a great showcase on what I can deliver from a podcasting perspective. So some of my clients have actually seen that and I'm getting podcasting work from that. So, yeah, it's weird how you can find additional streams of income, albeit not passive, to augment your kind of reactive writing or design work or whatever that you're doing.
But, and that also aligns with what we always say about keep learning too. But yes, we digress.
Yes. Yes, we've digressed terribly. So December is coming up. We're currently at the end of October. December is coming up. So what is your kind of strategy right now, winding down to what I'm assuming is a 16th of December cutoff for you?
So I'm not brave enough to do a 16th of December, I confess. I'll do the 23rd or 24th or whenever that is, but I am taking time off in January, the first week of January, okay. which is new to me. Normally I just do sort of between Christmas and New Year. So yeah, the January one is a little scary. But so what I've done yesterday, in fact, was sent out my notification to clients. And then I've asked them to please brief in any new projects at the beginning of December. And then I'm just trying when I can to work ahead on the work that I have due from now until the end of the year. And I'm leaving January to be January's problem.
Yes, yeah. That's usually a good way to look at it. For me, last year, I took an entire month off. I took from the 16th of December to the 16th of January, and that was a mistake because I thought I would come back to the office a week early and get all my admin done and kind of ease my way back in. But as soon as people get like a hint that you're back at your desk, so yeah, this year I'm taking school closes on the 13th and I'm closing on that day. And then I'm back in the first week of January and pretty much the same. I haven't yet advised people. I've kind of mentioned it in passing, but no official communication as yet. But yeah, it's going to be a wild ride, I think, between now and middle of December as you try and pack in everything before the end of the year. And especially for international clients who tend to only have that Christmas to New Year period off. So there's going to be a lot of forward planning on that. We're interested to know what do you guys do in terms of taking time off? How do you schedule it? What is your approach? Do you also cram work in? How do you balance the budgeting side? Please do pop us a message in the comments or a message on DM on social media. And we'll chat to you in the next episode.